Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we're learning Masechet Moed Katan. We find ourselves on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, that's 4a, and we're on the first wide line at the end of the line where it says Gufa. This series of recordings is a joint project of OU Torah, the OU Department of Synagogue Services, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. What we've been discussing is the prohibition against doing agricultural work on Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed is still a festival day, and so you're not really supposed to do work. And the rab, but it's not yantiv, so you can do some kind of work. One of the defining factors that the rabbis have suggested is that, articulated, is that work which is particularly laborious, that is tircha yetera, cannot be done. So what we've been discussing is the prohibition in the Mishnah against irrigating your field using mehag shamim, that is pools of rainwater. So you have a pool in the ditch in the ground that gets filled with rainwater, and you want to use that for irrigating purposes, or mehakilon, which is well water. And both of those are a lot of work to use. Well water particularly because you have to take a bucket and a contraption and lower the bucket into the well and then winch it back up in order to get water. So it's a lot of effort to do it, and you're not allowed to do that on Chol HaMoed. Regarding rainwater, it's a little less clear. One opinion says that we don't allow pools of rainwater because they're similar to well water, and so then they made a gzera, a decree, that so as not to get confused and think that you can do well water, they also forbade using rainwater. And the other reason is that because rainwater itself, even though when the pools are full, it's not so difficult to use it for irrigating, if the rain stops and you're using the water, then the water level goes down, and when the water level goes down, it becomes kind of like a well. So the question is, what are the parameters of this? Gufa. So we go back to the original teaching. Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rabba Bar Yirmiya. Rabbi Zera said in the name of Rabba Bar Yirmiya, Amar Shmuel, the name of Shmuel. Now we saw Rabbi Zera at the end of our last recording because we said that the opinion that says that it's a gzera, that we compare rainwater pools and well water as a gzera, agrees with Rabbi Zera, who says, does not agree with Rabbi Zera. And the opinion, however, that says that rainwater can sometimes be laborious does agree with Rabbi Zera. So we're looking at Rabbi Zera's original opinion to see how he understands pools of rainwater. And what he says, he's permissive in the following way. Neharot ha-moshchin mayin min ha-agamim, rivers of water that are drawn from pools of rainwater. So the agam is a pool of rainwater, and the river is formed when there's enough rain that it flows off into a river. Mutar lahashkot mehen, you may irrigate your fields using these natural rivers, b'chulo shel moed, on Chol HaMoed. So the understanding here is that there is no tircha yetera, and because the river itself is fed by a pool of water, it's permitted to use it, even though it's the original source is rainwater. Eitve Rabbi Yirmiya l'Rabbi Zera. So Rabbi Yirmiya asked Rabbi Zera a question, or he challenged this assertion. Aval lo mimei gishamim v'lo mimei kilon. But we know from the Mishnah that you're not allowed to irrigate your field from rainwater or from well water. And this river that's fed by a pool seems to be similar to rainwater. So why are you permitting it? Amar Lei, so he said back to him, Yirmiya Bere, Yirmiya my son, Hane Agamim de Bavel, these pools of rainwater in Babylonia, Kimaya de lo paske damu, they are like water that doesn't cease. So what Rabbi Zera is saying is that there really are two distinctions. There's a situation of a pool of rainwater that is likely to decrease. And if it is likely to decrease, then the Mishnah says you can't use it. Because what's going to happen psychologically is that once you start irrigating your field using the rainwater, you want to finish. But in the meantime, the level of the rainwater goes down in the ditch until it becomes very laborious to get more water out of it. But since you already started irrigating your field, you don't want to stop. So you'll end up doing tircha yetera on Chol HaMoed. However, if you're using a pool of rainwater that is maya de lo paske, it is not going to go down because it's well watered, it's raining a lot, and there's a lot of water in there. Then you'll be able to water your field without tircha yetera. So Rabbi Zera is saying, in a situation when you're not likely to come to tircha yetera, you should be allowed to water your field even using something that has a source of rainwater. That's the idea. And according to our previous recording, therefore, the question is, do we agree with that? So one opinion says we don't agree with that, even in a situation where there's a lot of rainwater and it's unlikely to decrease, we still compare it to well water and say that it's forbidden. On the other hand, if your concern is that the well water will decrease in a situation where it's well watered, we're not concerned about that. Okay, a similar teaching. Tanu Rabbanan, our rabbis taught, Hapsikot v'habrechot shenitmalu mayim me'erev yom tov. So psikot and brechot, Rashi says they're exactly the same, but other authorities suggest they're slightly different. Psikot are ditches or depressions that get filled with rainwater, and brechot are pools. The difference seems to be that brechot might be specifically formed pools in order to catch rainwater, and psikot might be sort of ditches that naturally form that were not set up that way. But in either case, we're talking about pools of rainwater, and they get filled with rainwater me'erev yom tov, before the holiday. Now it's Chol HaMoed, and you have here ready pools of water. Can you use them to irrigate your field? So the Gemara says, or this Mishnah says, Asur lahashkot mehen b'chulo shel moed. You may not use them to irrigate on Chol HaMoed, which sounds similar to our Mishnah, because they are pools of rainwater, and Mishnah says pools of rainwater cannot be used. But we add an addition, we add a caveat. V'im haita amat hamayim overet b'nehen, but if there is a channel of water that runs between them, mutar, then it is permitted. Because this channel of water is going to create a situation where the water doesn't subside. There's plenty of water and you're not going to run out. And therefore you don't have to worry about tircha yeterah. So this is agreeing with Rebbe Zeira. Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa adds a caveat to the caveat. V'hu sheruba shel ota sadeh shota me'ota amat hamayim. This is only in a situation where it is possible to irrigate the majority of the field using that channel of water. Because as I mentioned a minute ago, psychologically, once you start watering your field, you want to make sure to finish it, or maybe it's economically. So as long as there's enough water in that channel, or it is situated in a way that you can irrigate the majority of the field, then we are not concerned that if something happens to that field, that you'll end up putting out tircha yetera, excessive labor and effort, in order to go find another water source. Okay, so that's where Rav Papa adds that consideration, that you have to make sure that it's maya de lo paske. Rav Ashi Amar, but Rav Ashi is more lenient. He says, Afa pisha ein ruba shel ota sadesh shota, even if the majority of the field does not drink from that channel of water, kevan deka mashcha va'atya, since it is still maya de lo paska, meaning the river is running, meimar amar, he could say, ilo shatya l'chad yoma, if the field doesn't fully get irrigated today, in one day, tishtei l'treyu t'lata yome, it'll happen tomorrow or the day after. So it'll take me 2 or 3 days. But psychologically, I still won't feel like I have to expend a huge amount of additional effort to go find another water source, because I know that this is a resource that is not going to run out. So even though it doesn't easily irrigate my entire field, I can let it, flow over the course of several days. Tanu Rabbanan, our rabbis taught, Brecha shenotefet mayim mistei beit hashlachin zu. So we have a pool of water that is dripping water down into a beit hashlachin. A beit hashlachin, as we mentioned in our Mishnah, is a field that requires irrigation, and therefore it can be irrigated on Chol HaMoed as long as you don't expend too much effort. So here it's an easy situation. You have a pool of water that's dripping downwards into a beit hashlachin. The chiddush here is that we say mutar lahashkot mimena. You can use the beit hashlachin that is being watered in order to irrigate sadeh beit hashlachin acheret, another beit hashlachin. So if you have a beit hashlachin that is below that one or next to it, and the water is dripping in from the pool, and then it's continuing to drip, like how when you water your plants, it drips out the bottom. So the excess water is dripping from the beit hashlachin into the next beit hashlachin, it's still allowed. Okay? V'ha avida de pascha. But that is likely to stop. It's a water source that's not renewable. If a lot of water doesn't come into the beit hashlachin, it won't continue to drip into the other field. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, so Rabbi Yirmiyah says, V'adayin hi mitaftefet. It's only allowed as long as it is still dripping. As long as enough water is coming into the first field, you can still irrigate the second field. Amar Abaye, Abaye adds, however, a caveat, v'hulo p'shelo pasak mayan harishon. That's assuming that the original brecha, the original water source, is still flowing. So in all of these authorities agree that as long as the original water source is not likely to become exhausted, you can irrigate your field with them. So these all agree with each other. However, as we saw, there was another opinion, which was the opinion of Rabbi La in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that under all circumstances, rainwater cannot be used to irrigate. But obviously, he is a minority opinion. Tanya, we learn in a braita. Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya Omer, this is a similar case. Shtei arugot zula malamizu. You have two rows. This is like terrace farming. So you have a higher terrace of plants and a lower terrace of plants. Lo yadle min hatachtona. You may not transfer the irrigation from the lower row, the yashke etalyona, in order to irrigate the higher row. So at issue here is going to be this word yadle. Yadle comes from the word, similar word we saw it in the word dli, which means a bucket. So what yadle means originally is to draw down, to draw up, just like you draw water up from a well in a bucket. So anything that is a drawing up motion is the yadle. So here you're drawing up from the water in the lower row in order to irrigate the higher row. And that is not allowed on Chol HaMoed because it is effortful to go against gravity to move the water from the lower to the higher. Yoter al kain, more than this, Amar Reb Elazar b'Reb Shimon, afilo aruga achat chetzia namuch v'chetzia gavoa, even if it's only a half step up and a half step down, there's one that's a half step lower. Lo yadle mimakom namuch v'yashkele makom gavoa. You can't go from the lower place to the higher place. So anything that goes against gravity, that goes upwards, is not allowed. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan, our rabbis taught. Madlin liyirakot kedei leochlan. Now here we have a permissive ruling. It is permissible to draw up in order to irrigate vegetables if you want to eat them on the holiday. So this falls under the general category that we said that you may do labor on Chol HaMoed for the sake of the festival. So here you want to water the vegetables so that they remain fresh so you can eat them on the holiday. The im bishvili apotan, but if the goal is to make them better, asur. Now, the assumption of make them better is that you don't want to eat them immediately, but you do want them to continue to grow and to flourish so that you can eat them after the festival. So if the goal is just to give nutrients to the vegetables so they'll be healthy and then you can eat them next week, that is not allowed. But if your goal is to perk them up right now so you can eat them, it is allowed. Okay, so that's our case. Now we're going to tell a story about two Amoraim related to this case, and it's still related to this issue of doleh, of yadleh. What does drawing mean? Ravina v'rabba tosva havuka azle ba'archa. Ravina, who is the last generation of Amoraim, and Rabba tosva, they were walking on the way. And Ravina is the senior teacher here. Chazu lahu gavra, they saw a certain man, dahave dale davla, who was watering vegetables, Bechola Dumoada, on the intermediate days of the festival. Amarle Rabba Tosfa le Ravina. So Rabba Tosfa says to Ravina, his teacher, Leiti Mar le Shamte. Why don't you put him in Cherem? Like, why don't you get him in trouble? In other words, here he is working his fields on Chol HaMoed in an impermissible way. He is watering. He's dale. He is watering upwards. He's drawing water onto his fields, which is excessive effort on Chol HaMoed. He knows what he's doing is wrong. That's the presumption. And so therefore you should bust him. Amarle, so Ravina says back to him, Vehatanya, but it doesn't say in a braita, Madlin liyirakot kedei leochlan. You may draw up water for the vegetables if you're going to eat them. So maybe we can assume that the reason this man is watering his vegetables is that he wants to eat them on the festival. Amarle, so Rabba Tosfa says back to him, Misvarat my madlin, madlin maya. Who said that this word madlin, to draw up, what is drawing up water? That's what we were saying, that just like you pull water from a well, you draw water up. And so you're going from a lower source to a higher source. My madlin, what does madlin really mean? Flip the page, we're on Dalet Amud Bet. Shilufe, maybe it means weeding. In other words, you're pulling up undesirable growth. You're thinning out the plant so that they will grow better. And this is also a process of drawing up because you're picking the weeds out of the ground. So it's the same motion as if you're drawing water from the bottom of a well. So he's saying perhaps the word madlin means to weed, in which case this man, well, it's unclear if the story means that the guy was weeding or if we're saying that his watering his vegetables was no problem. That watering the vegetables is a problem because what's permitted is to weed your vegetables, meaning to pull out things that are preventing your vegetables from growing in order to eat them on the festival, but not to weed them so that they'll grow better after the festival, in which case watering is never allowed. Kiditnan, how do I know that madlin means to weed and to thin out the foliage instead of to water them? Kiditnan, as we learn in a Mishnah related to peya, which is leaving over the corner of your field for the poor, hamedel bigfanim, one who is thinning out the vine plants, kishem shehu medel bishalo, just like he thins out his own vine plants, kahu medel bishal anim, so he is allowed to thin out the foliage that belongs to the poor. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's the words of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir says, Bishalo Rashai, in his own field he can weed them out. Ve'eno Rashai Bishal Anim, but he's not allowed to thin out the foliage of the Anim. So what we mean here is that the corner of your field, which is supposed to be left for the poor, doesn't really belong to you. So you are allowed to do, according to one opinion, you're allowed to do anything to the poor field that you can do to your own field. So even though you're reducing the amount of foliage that's in the poor people's corner, you're allowed to do that because you would do it to your own field. And the other opinion says you shouldn't touch the poor field at all. That's for the poor people. But no matter how you look at it, what we're not talking about here is watering, which is not a problem. Of course, you can water the corner of the field. The problem is whether or not you can take away from the poor field because it doesn't really belong to you. It's supposed to be left for the poor. Can you pull out foliage from the part of the field that belongs to the poor people? That's why we think madlin means weeding. Amar lei, so he says to him, back to him, this is Ravina, v'hatanya, but doesn't it say in the Braita, madlin mayim lirakot kidei la'ochlan? What it said in our Braita was that you are allowed to water, to be madle, water onto them. So that has nothing to do with weeding. Clearly this source has to do with watering. Amar lei, itanya tanya. If that's the way that it was taught in the Braita, that's the way it's taught in the Braita. This is Rabba Tosva, who is conceding to Ravina that his teaching was that madlin mayim lirakot meant that it was permissible to water vegetables in order to eat them on the festival, and since they didn't know whether or not this man who was watering his vegetables right now was doing it, they assumed he was doing it in order to eat them on the festival, therefore they would not get him into trouble and he would not put him into cherem or shamta, as it says here. So in the end, even though it is possible that the word madlin or medel can mean two things. It can possibly mean to thin out crops or to weed. It also can have the meaning of to water, which is what it seems to have in our Mishnah. We'll stop there at the two dots and continue in our next recording. Have a wonderful day.